Welcome to the call. It's now a beautiful day here in Oregon.
Hold on. Oh, okay, Jim, I missed your intro. Hang on. Trying to get you back online. Jim, you should be okay now. No, you're not. Okay, hold on. No, that's not right either. Mute. I don't want that. We do have one more caller here, so I'm just trying to get you to be able to speak again. Okay. All right, Jim, see if you can speak, please. Jim? Oops. Hey, Jim, are you there? Jim? I'm not even here. Here I am. Jim, are you there? Good morning, everybody. Today is Saturday, October 6th. Thank you for joining us on the call. As you can see, I'm having some technical difficulties. I'm sitting in my car in a parking lot using free Wi-Fi because the Wi-Fi in my new home isn't working. So I'm trying to get my associate Jim Knox back on the line. Jim?
I am there.
Oh, there you are. There you are. Okay. Because I'm having such a compromised situation here, I'm going to let you take over from here.
All right, great. Well, welcome to the call. It's now Saturday, October 6th, and our disclaimer is standard. We are not accountants. We are not tax professionals. We are not lawyers or currency dealers. We are not engaged in rendering legal, tax, accounting, or other professional advice. Should you require those services, you should retain competent advice from professionals in that field. So, with that, I want to start out by saying that some of you know that we have been evolving the trust, and we now are not using the word business so much in the trust, even though it is a business trust. And the biggest reason is because we're having some issues with the banks. They don't like the fact that we call it business trust. They want us to file all kinds of documentation, which is not necessary. So we just simply say it's a contract trust. And as Carol said in the past, if you would like to have the cover sheet changed, just let us know. We'll change it, get it out. Carol's having a bit of a fun time. She's moved out into the Midwest, and she's having issues with the Internet out there, so she's asked me to jump in here and help out. Since we're in the process of getting her set up, I wanted to talk more about the advantages of a business trust or advantages of a contact trust. We have kind of semi-prepared some notes, and I'm going to go over those here in just a second. But I'm having issues with my computer now. That's a shame. Well, anyway, I'm just going to go forward with what I have. And if I can get mine to come up, this is not good. Carol,
don't you love technology?
Oh, yeah. I just love it right now. It's my computer just decided to quit.
Okay.
That is awfully odd.
Yes, well, we're still online.
Okay, I've got one of my formats back up, not the one we really want. So we're going to have to just wing this, Carol. I'm sorry, but things are just not working here. I don't know what happened.
I did speak to someone this morning who is in a different location, does have high-speed Internet, and they were having a problem this morning. So it might be system-wide.
Looks like it is because I'm getting all kinds of flashes on my computer now, too. I don't know what this is about. Huh. That is more than weird. So everything I wrote earlier is gone.
And can you get the email that I just sent you?
I'm trying to. I can't. Yeah, it's in here. This is extremely odd. Okay, I've got that one. So we'll go forward with that one.
Okay.
So, just love technology. So basically what Carol is presented here is a situation where she's explaining about her husband's moved out to the Oklahoma area, and they successfully made it there, but her computer didn't survive, and some other things haven't happened well. And we've been just kind of trudging along. So we're going to talk about the common law or the business common law trust. It's commonly known as a Massachusetts trust in the form of a business organization consisting essentially of an arrangement whereby property is conveyed to trustees in accordance with the terms of an instrument of trust to be held and managed for the benefit of such persons as may from time to time be holders or transferable certificates issued by the trustees showing the shares into which the beneficial interest is divided, which certificates entitle the holders to share ratably in the income of property, and on termination of the trust, the proceeds thereof, corpus juris secundum 12A-495. Now, I know that sounds kind of generic, so what's the big difference? Well, the trust that we prepare is actually a non-grantor, irrevocable common law business trust organization. Essentially, it is a contract in trust form. That's quite a mouthful, so we make it easy to use by referring to it merely as a trust. So we're going to define and explain the names here used, and here it goes. A non-grantor means nothing was granted or gifted to the trust. A revocable means the terms of the trust cannot be changed, and no one, not even a judge, can make you terminate it. It also indicates that anything you exchange into the trust is there forever, so it will never be part of your estate when you die. Common law means it gets its power and strength from the Constitution. It's Article 1, Section 10. It's not dependent on any statutory law for its existence. While, in fact, this is a business trust, which is a totally different animal from a regular trust, we have deliberately omitted the verbiage from the name, which we mentioned earlier, as it is too confusing, especially for the banking community. The trust is an entity unto itself, hence the word organization. So, those that aren't familiar with a common law trust or business trust, is this something new? No. Common law trusts are not new. Some major U.S. businesses that were originally organized as common law trusts include American Express, Chicago Elevated Railroad, Associated Simmons Hardware, Pepperell Manufacturing, and Massachusetts Electric. Common law business trusts were widely used in the 1800s in Massachusetts. The reason for the name. Now, we've heard a lot of talk lately about Jussara and Nassara. Will your trust still be valid when that comes to pass? Well, from what we understand about the Nassara or Jussara, it will mark the return to the constitutional law. As instruments of common law, we will fit right in. Other statutory trusts probably will not. So, remember, we were cast as a republic, not as a democracy. So, how is it created? Well, the common law trust is created by a private written contract. A trust contract is basically created by two or more individuals, creator and an investor or exchanger. The creator makes an offer to the investor or exchanger, which is the owner of the assets, being transferred into the trust to create the trust. The investor or exchanger then exchanges his or her assets, such as business interests or real estate, stocks, bonds, cars, currency, whatever, to the creator for trust certificates of capital units. Personal property terms are shares of stock or corporation. So we use some of the nomenclature as beneficial units. So as his or her last official act of the as a creator, they appoint the first trustee. The creator exits the contract, has no further duties, authority, access, responsibility, or liability to the trust organization. So the first trustee then appoints a second trustee, if he or she desires to do so, and the trust is valid only one trustee. One trustee can be a board of trustees. So the trustees then appoint one or more successor trustees, take over the management of the trust upon their death, or if the trustee has to, like one of us in our team, got ill and couldn't continue, so somebody else was appointed. So some of the advantages of the common law are, corporation is created by a state, has a privilege, it has corporate benefits, and it may be diminished, limited, or eliminated by the state government. Whereas a common law trust, its existence and operation are controlled by its contract, not by state corporate law. The other advantage is the state charges high fees for corporations and high ongoing annual fees, where the trust is a privately created entity, does not have any of these expenses. A corporation, except for the subchapter S corporation, that is taxed as a partnership, can be subject to double taxation, income taxes on corporate profits, then income taxes on dividends, and paid now or in the future to those profits, from those profits to the shareholders. In contrast, a common law business trust does not pay income taxes on its profits if it must distribute all of its net income to its certificate holders or the beneficiaries, therefore escaping the taxation as a simple trust. Now, likewise with capital gains, taxes may be entirely avoided by a common law trust that sells assets at a profit if the trust contract specifies that all the net trust income is to be distributed annually to the certificate holders, who will be the ones to report the capital gains as taxable income and pay any due taxes. Corporate officers and directors, and sometimes even the shareholder names and financial dealings, are a matter of public record and detailed in annual reports. Common law business trust affairs are private and not a matter of public record. Nobody gets to know who you are. The avoidance of probate administration is one of the major advantages of a common law trust. If one's assets are all owned by one or more trusts, and we highly recommend that, you should put one house in one trust, one car in one trust, etc. At one's death, there is no assets in the deceased person's name to go through probate. The trustees and the successor trustees continue the uninterrupted administration and the benefit of the trust assets and the income. Because the common law business trust assets do not go through probate, a common law trust cannot be challenged by persons falsely claiming to be heirs or creditors of the deceased person. Assets can often be protected against creditors while trustees and certificate holders are alive because the common law business trust holds title to the trust assets, with the result that the trustees and the certificate holders cannot have their shares of capital units attached by creditors. Like the initial funding of a new corporation, there is no income or transfer gift tax to put initial assets in the business trust. It's structured like a corporation in the funding process because the transfer of the assets receives back a proportional share of the certificates of capital units. Where corporate stock owned by stockholders is liable for death taxes to the extent the value exceeds exemptions and deductions, the assets of a properly structured, funded, and administered asset preservation common law business trust will not be part of the original investor exchanger who originally funded the trust when the grantor dies. So, the next question about after I read all that was, will I be able to use this trust at my exchange, which is probably the most important thing to talk about. Well, to the best of my knowledge, all you will need is an abstract of the trust or an abstract of certification of the trust and a valid EIN, which is, you know, you get from the IRS, and we get both of those for you. And as far as getting money out of the trust, having a piggy bank without a key is pretty worthless. So is a trust if you cannot get the access to the money. One of the unique things about this trust is we suggest you take a salary. The amount can be anything you choose, but is taxable income to you. So try and make it reasonable. And on that, realizing that the trust can also supply you with car expenses, office rent, benefit, like home rent, things like that, you should not have to pull very much out for your income. So it should be a lesser tax. Now, you can borrow from the trust. Let's say that you want to go buy a car. You can borrow the money for your car because you are now your own banker. So you can create terms that are available to you, like a long-term, low-interest, new renewable balloon note, and at some point you'll have to make an interest payment, or the IRS may consider this a gift and tax you accordingly. The trust can pay all legitimate business deductions. So, as I said a minute ago, it could give you a car, transportation, so on and so forth. So if you want to visit Italy, look at some real estate, pick up some brochures and business cards, and write off most of the trip, just like you can with a corporation. As a trustee, you can declare a distribution to the certificate holders. Again, that will be a taxable event. So you could do, at the end of the year, you could make a sizable one if you so decide. If you're planning on purchasing real estate, and I believe most of us are, have your first or your mother lode trust create and fund additional trusts that will pay for and own that real estate. Now, I know it sounds like a lot of work, and if you need help, well, you need to get help. So my experience with this is years ago, back in the 80s when I was doing real well with these trusts, I had to have personal assistance. So I had four businesses at one time running, and I had a personal assistant that reported only to me. And then there was a liaison with each one of those companies. And then he would gather the information and then report to me. So I didn't have to do all that menial stuff. So I had people that would do all of those things necessary. And I just had to look at the overview. And I gave guidance from the overview of what I wanted them to do. And I made sure I had competent people that could do what I needed to get done. So when the money comes in, you're going to have some assistance. And you can find some competent companies that will find you the right people. They're called headhunter companies. They can go find you an assistant, a personal assistant, and they can help you find people that will liaison between those projects that you want to do and you. You don't have to do that. It can be done for you. So don't get overwhelmed when you say, well, I'm going to have all this money, I'm going to do all these great things, it's going to be too much work. No, it's not. You'll be spending most of your time directing others. That's all you're going to be doing. Now, one of the things that that we have to all realize that when this finally happens, there's going to be probably more money than we could have ever imagined having. So you're going to have somebody help manage all these projects. You just can't do it. So just get that in your mind and be prepared to go find those people that will make your dreams come true. You're going to be paying them a lot of money to make those dreams come true for you.
Jim, can I interject for a second here? You want to tell them about your website?
Well, yeah. We have our own website. It's a members-only website, indicatorinformation.com. And every one of the people that have purchased a trust has access to that. Now, if you haven't purchased a trust or worked some type of an arrangement with Carol on your abstract, you're not going to be able to get in there. In the website, we have all the instructions on how to run a trust. And it's an ongoing site. It's being added to constantly. We have right now about 150. We will have over 500 sample minutes in every category you can imagine. Now, what you would do is you'd log into the website. You'd go down through the list of minutes to find what you need, say that you want to buy a new car. So you have to have, the trust has to have a reason, and has to then, which is for you, and then it has to have something in there saying that it was authorized to go buy a car. So the trustees have to create this minute. So there'll be a template there. And all you do is you cut the part of that minute out, you take it to your computer, and then you add it to your trust, print it, sign it, add it to the book, and away you go. So that's how simple this will be. But there's a lot of education in there also. Everything we've talked about today will be in there. There'll be a lot more. And we will get to the point where we have guest writers, attorneys, CPAs, so on and so forth, that will have their own area in there that they can make contributions to help guide you through what you're getting ready to do. Now, this thing is going to be around for a long time. I built it. I'm also the webmaster. And so I can guarantee you it's going to be around. And just this last week, we upgraded to a brand new server. So last Friday, a week ago, Saturday morning, it was down for a few hours, but it's up. It's been up since then, and it's working quite well. And it's fairly quick. So that's going to be ongoing. Cheryl, you want to add some more about that, your experience with it?
So far, everybody who's looked at it has replied back to me how helpful they feel it's going to be, that it is easy to navigate, and it's a lot more than anybody else is offering. And fortunately, right now, there's not a lot of traffic where I am, so I can talk. But we folks are offering more than most people that sell a truss. Either Jim or I are going to be available by telephone. Post-RV, we're both going to be around for at least 6 months. We will have additional staff to help us produce your trusts as you need them. And as I said, we just offer so much more than most people do. Our prices are reasonable. They will go up post-RV, but they will still be very, very reasonable. Right now our turnaround time is about 45 days, barring anything unusual like now. But Jim has really stepped to the plate recently to pick up where I've been unavailable. But post-RV, you can expect 1 to 2 weeks for new business.
Well, I wanted to – let me interrupt you. You sound like you said 45 days. I think you meant 4 or 5 days.
Yes, 4 to 5 days, yes. Thank you. That's one of the reasons I'm staying off this call, because I'm sure it's not coming through very clearly. Yeah. But, Jim, did you want to expand on any of the advantages that you talked about? We're only about 25 minutes into this call. Maybe you – and we can't – let me see. I don't think we can do Q&A because nothing's really working very well here. Let's try it. Okay, anybody, if you are there, if you care to ask a question, please hit *6, and we'll see if we can get you online. As I said, Jim, you can maybe expand on some of those advantages. And one of the things we didn't mention in the name of the trust was that is – non-grantor irrevocable common law contract trust. And it's contract. That's why it's important. That's what makes it work, is the fact that it is a contract. So in the future, we will be referring to either as just a trust or a contract trust. And I don't see any questions, but then again, we haven't been able to invite anybody to the call because I lost my database. So hopefully we will get you'll be able to listen to this call on YouTube. And all of our calls are going to be posted on our website as well. Is that correct, John? Jim?
Yeah, it is. And not only that, as I'm going to start doing some podcasting. I'll be doing some little shows like this myself and get them, send them to Carol. We'll both agree to put them on the site, and they'll be little, probably 8 to 10 minutes a piece, and we'll talk about a specific subject. And in the near future, it'll be Carol and I joined together doing a podcast and building these little audio files for you. You can then download them and put them in your phone or your whatever and take them with you and listen to them 2 and 3 times so you get exactly what we're trying to say. We are evolving all of this. We're building a bigger company. We're building a better website. We're getting better technology. It just happens to be right now technology is not cooperating. I'm having issues right now with my internet. Carol's having issues with her internet. We know that there's things going on out there. It's the era we live in right now. And with all the stuff that's going on politically, I think that has a lot to do with it.
So I think you're right.
We'll have a list of all of the – we have a list on there now, but not a complete list. And since we're really not a corporation, we don't put a lot of the information on the website about the law pertaining to corporations. We do put some out there saying, okay, if you compare the trust with a corporation, and this is what happened with this corporation, you don't have to worry about that with a trust. So that's sometimes the way we refer to those, but we don't use a lot of statutory law. There's one thing I would like to talk about real quick. I have a little quote here, and I'm going to read the whole thing. It's a small paragraph, and then I'll explain it. It says, a business or common law trust, commonly known as a Massachusetts trust, is a form of business organization consisting essentially of an arrangement whereby property is conveyed to the trustees in accordance with the terms of an instrument of trust to be held and managed for the benefit of such persons as may from time to time be holders or transferable certificates issued by the trustees showing the shares into which the beneficial interest is divided, which certificates entitle the holders to share ratably in the income of the property, and on termination of the trust in the proceeds thereof. That's Corpus Juris Secundum 12A 495. That tells you exactly what the court thinks of these instruments. And, of course, we're based on U.S. v. Dahlstrom et al., so we know what we're doing with this. We know that it works. There's never been a problem with it. And so we're relying on the Constitution and all the court laws. And so far, I don't see any issues coming in the future because this thing's already passed muster many, many times.
Yeah. Well, Jim, you might want to mention from U.S. v. Dahlstrom, the verdict and what the IRS guy said.
I don't have that in front of me. Do you have it by heart?
Okay.
By heart?
Yeah, I do. In the case of U.S. v. Dahlstrom, the IRS lost the initial case, so they transferred it. I mean, they went to Court of Appeals. In the Court of Appeals trial, the IRS's own expert witness, Carl K. Krogh, declared on the stand that the business trust is a valid legal entity. And no one has ever appeals court upheld the decision of the circuit court. The IRS took it even further to the U.S. Supreme Court, which further validated the validity. I sound really good this morning of our business trust. So we've been around the block. I don't think we go much higher than the U.S. Supreme Court. It's a good thing for us to be able to rely on, and we've done it for years. The trust judgment has never been overturned. I mean, go all the way back to English common law, Chancery Court, Smith versus Anderson, declared the validity of business trust long ago, way back then. And again, folks, please excuse me for my mumbling this morning. This has been a very stressful morning with no internet. I'm sitting in my car trying to do this call. So, Jim, but it is about 12:30. Why don't we sign off now? You want to give people your info to reach you, and then I'll do mine.
Sure. My name is Jim Knox, K-N-O-X, and the best phone number is 503-583-6791. Email would be security@indicatorinformation.com. I try and respond right away. I'm usually here at the house working. I work out of my home. And I'm on the West Coast, so I prefer not to be getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to answer the phone, but occasionally I have. And so, you know, right now my time is 10:30. So, that's how you get a hold of me. Carol?
Well, my time is 12:30. I'm now in the Central Time Zone. Again, my name is Carol Werlius. My telephone number is still 425-820-8090. My email is info@indicatorinformation.com. Again, as I said, I'm on the Central Time Zone. Hours are typically 9 to 5. Like Jim, I work from home, so I am normally there most of the time. And we do try to respond to calls and emails in a quick fashion. Right now, I apologize for my inability to get back to you as early as I would like to. I just can't do it. Just can't get online. So hopefully by next week, this will all be taken care of, and we will have a real call put together, and we will be able to announce it ahead of time. In the meantime, you can find us on YouTube. Look under Business Trust, and there we are. Thank you all for your attention and your time today. We do appreciate it. And all I can say is go RV. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.